There was no doubt about it this time. Over yonder, behind the rise of scrub oak, the automobile had left the highway and was laboring in low gear over the rutted road to where they waited. Like a saliva-wetted finger scorching across a hot iron, Bowie's insides spitted. He looked at Chickamaw. Chickamaw's eyes were fixed up the weed-grown road, his thick-soled convict shoes quiet on the rain-sprinkled earth that he had scarred with pacing. "Well, that's him," he said. Bowie looked behind him, across the creek's ridge of trees and over the field where the blades of the young corn glimmered like knives in the late afternoon sun. Above the whitewashed walls of Alcatona Penitentiary reared the red-painted water tank, the big cottonwood tree of the upper yard, and the guards' towers. The car was coming on. The jew's harp twanging of the grasshoppers in the broom weeds seemed to heighten. "I can rib myself up to do anything," Bowie thought. "Anything. Every day in that place over there is wasted." The car's springs creaked nearer. Bowie looked at Chickamaw again. "You're not planning on going someplace, are you?" Chickamaw did not move his head.
"I'm just waiting to see a horse about a feller," he said.
The taxicab bumped around the hill and wallowed toward them. Bowie squinted to see better. The figure in the back seat had on a straw hat. It was old T-Dub, though. "Come on, you cotton-headed old soldier." The driver was that kid that had been peddling marijuana to some of the boys. Jazbo, they called him. The cab stopped a few feet away, and Bowie and Chickamaw moved toward it.
"Hello, Bowie,"
Jazbo said. Bowie did not look at him. "Hi," he said. T-Dub sat there with a big paper-wrapped bundle across his knees. The yellow brightness of the new hat made his blonde hair look like dry corn silk.
"Well, what we waiting on?"
Chickamaw said. He opened the door. T-Dub handed Chickamaw the bundle and then reached inside his blouse and pulled the gun. He scraped the barrel against the driver's cheek.
"This is a stick-up, Jazbo," he said.
"God almighty, man,"
Jazbo said. His head quivered on a rigid neck. Chickamaw ripped at the bundle strings and slapped at the paper. It contained blue denim overalls and white cotton shirts. He began stripping himself of his cotton-sacking prison clothing. Bowie and T-Dub began changing, too. Jazbo said,
"Bowie, you know me. You tell these boys I'm all right."
"You just do what you told," Bowie said.
"All you gotta do is tell me,"
Jazbo said. Their clothing changed. Chickamaw pushed Jazbo over and got under the wheel, and Bowie and T-Dub got in the back. They turned and went back up the road. On the highway, the wind began beating the speeding car like 100 fly swatters. There was a car under the shed of the filling station on the right. A man in coveralls stood beside the red pump, twisting the handle.
"Don't you let me see you throw no winks, Jazbo," T-Dub said, "or I'll beat your ears down."
"I'll put my head between my legs if you say so," Jazbo said.
They passed the filling station, and Bowie looked back. The man was still twisting the pump handle. The empty highway behind looked like a stretching rubber band. Bowie looked at the revolver in T-Dub's thick grasp. It was a silver-plated gun with a pearl handle.
"This old soldier knows what he's doing," Bowie thought. "Any rumbles in town?" he said.
T-Dub shook his head. The highway still stretched emptily.
"They're finding out things back there now in the warden's office," Bowie thought. "The colonel's bowels are getting in an uproar now. Get out the stripes for that bunch of no-goods," he's saying. "That's what you get for treating them like white men. No more baseball and passes to go fishing for that Bowie Bowers and Elmo Mobley. That T.W. Maysfield is not going to work in this prison commissary anymore. Get out the dogs and the shotguns and the 30-30s and run them sons of bitches down."
A car shot up over the rise ahead, hurtled toward them. It passed with a swooshing sound. "Cars coming this way don't mean nothing," Bowie thought. "No more than them crows flying over yonder." T-Dub shifted the revolver to his left hand, wiped his palm on his thigh, and re-grasped the gun.
"Old T-Dub knows what he's doing."
The tendons of Chickamaw's lean neck played into two bony knots behind each ear.
"Yeah, that Chickamaw knows what he's doing, too. A man won't get in with two boys like this just every day. No more time for any of them. They had shook on it."
The explosion was like the highway had snapped. The escaping air of the right back tire wailed. The car began to bump. On the left was a signpost, Alcatona, 14 miles.
It was right in the middle of 13, Bowie thought. Old, unlucky 13. They bumped across the wooden bridge and moved up the dirt side road. When they were out of sight of the highway, Chickamaw stopped. The casing looked like it had been chopped with an axe. The spare was no good either. Dusk was smoking out the ebbing glow on the horizon. Crickets in the roadside grass sounded like wind and loose telephone wires. Old unlucky 13 is getting us up tight, Bowie thought. 122 miles to Kyoto and Chickamaw's cousin, D. Mobley, in our hole, and 13 riding our sore backs. Chickamaw yanked at the barbed wire of the fence with the pliers, and then came back with a strand. He lashed Jazbo to the steering wheel. They moved now across the field of growing cotton toward the farmhouse light.
This gentleman up here might have a car with some tires on it, T-Dub said.
The earth of the field was soft, and the tough stalks whipped their legs. In the distance, back toward the prison, there was the sound of baying dogs, and Bowie stopped.
Man, listen to them dogs, he said.
Chickamaw and T-Dub halted. It was a vibrant, sonorous sound, like the musical notes of a deep reed instrument.
Hell, them's possum hounds, Chickamaw said.
They walked faster. The cottonwood stumps squatted in the field like headless toads. The farmhouse light glowed nearer, a fierce orange. T-Dub broke into a lope, and Chickamaw and Bowie followed.